As we come to address our issues of Sunday school and what it is that we're about, we're looking at the nuts and bolts of how it is that we work to silence our minds and quiet those things which go on inside of us so that we might focus upon the Word of God and hear what He has for us in His Word. So the question for us today, first one, is how did your homework go? Well, if it was anything like my first few days of attempting to have no other thoughts in my mind but the Word of God, which I was reading, it was probably hit or miss. Some days and sometimes we're really focused and it's really good, and other days we just can't keep our minds, our attention on anything. Now, for years we learned certain habits and certain practices, or in fact they were actually limitations. Bible study consisted of what others have taught us. That's how we learn to do these things. We see what others do, and then we put their practices into our lives. Often we were taught that personal devotion should last 15 minutes, which was a good standard, and it should consist of prayer. And we learn things like Acts, A-C-T-S, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication, that would be a good model for us to use. And it is a good model. We should include those things within our prayers. So sometimes we would do that. We would just thank God for what He'd done, and then we would go to our list. And our list consisted of all those people and things and situations that we had were concerned about or people had asked us to pray for, and we were diligent in our prayers, and we would pray for those things. Well, these types of things, this let's get down to business of praying, often blocks our path to silence. Because silence is not the norm in our lives. And it's a rare person indeed who actually moves away from the world so that they do not have to speak or listen to others, or even provides a margin in their lives to achieve or find any silence. But the silence that we're seeking is not a physical state of the absence of sound. We can be in a soundproof room and still hear the voices in our heads, see the images that run on the tape in our mind, and be bound by the commentary that we give on those images. So let me give you a real-life example of the type of wandering that our minds will do when we quiet the world around us. Now, this has nothing to do with devotional life. This is an individual's experience in a sensory deprivation tank. A sensory deprivation tank is a tank that is filled with high saline water, and you kind of float, and they turn out all the lights and all the sound, and you lose a sense of everything else in the world. So this is what he discovered in the tank. Initially, what I discovered was where all my unhealed cuts were. Nothing like 1,000 pounds of Epsom salt mixed into 10 inches of water to remind you about the blister on the back of your foot. So once I was situated, an inflatable neck pillow supporting my head, the water cradling my floating body like a warm liquid barca lounger, I tried to focus on my breathing and the LED starlights that were above me. At first, all was well. My body floated around like a little buoy. I felt like I was headed someplace spiritual, someplace deeper, he said. So I decided to turn off all the lights and enter into full sensory deprivation mode, which is when things started to go badly. Lying in the darkness, I couldn't see anything. I couldn't hear anything, save for my own breathing and the drip of the tank's water filter. I adjusted my leg. The water found another cut, filled my head and focus with pain, and all of a sudden, all I could think of was, what if I get sepsis in this tank? And then I decided I didn't even know what sepsis was, but it was bad, and I didn't want to die from it. So what was going to happen? And then this little bead of salt water rolled into my ear, and I started to panic because my guide had pointed out that there was some vinegar there that I was supposed to use to flush my ears in case salt water got into my ears, and I hadn't asked him what would happen if salt water did get into my ears and stay in my ear. And all I could think of then was the little girl at summer camp who got river water in her ears and had to go to the infirmary, and we never saw her again. So what was I going to do? Was I going to die in this tank alone? Is this what it felt like to be on the Titanic? And I started to think about how many thoughts my brain was able to form in mere seconds. A voice from somewhere else in my brain started commenting on those things and judging me for not being able to stop thinking about them, thereby forming more thoughts in my brain. I couldn't figure out how many minutes or hours I'd been in the tank, and that's when I realized there was no panic button in this tank, and everything became a jumble of, am I going to die here in the dark with sepsis, and is this the Titanic, is this the end for me? Somewhere in the depths of my conscious, the voice rolled forth, get out. The man had spent 2 minutes in the tank, 2 minutes in silence, and that's all that he could take. Well, silence is something within us that's been blocked. It's been blocked by sin. It's been blocked by our own selfishness, our own unwillingness to cultivate this silence. The silence lingers there. It lingers there in the recesses of our conscience, but we're afraid of it. We're not willing to take the time to develop it, or we simply lack the knowledge to access that silence. Some of us look at it and wonder why anyone would seek it, for it's in that silence that we are revealed. It's interesting. We are searching for a closeness and an intimacy with the Lord, but it is in that silence that we are laid bare before the Lord. It isn't until we are bare before the Lord that we can consider as our own Paul's words, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. And that is our ultimate desire. St. John Climacus wrote, "The friend of silence comes close to God." Comes close to God. Now, I began doing this type of prayer the first time I started to practice it when I was writing my dissertation material back in the early 2000s. And as I looked at what had been done in the past and what so many had done in the desert and Roman mysticism, and then how after the Reformation they had kind of taken these and reclaimed them with a focus more upon finding intimacy with the Lord and not escaping from the world or attempting to use these practices as a means to get new revelation or something new from the Lord, but to dig into the Word and to listen to what the Lord has to say, I found it takes time. And what we are after presently is to quiet the quiet in our minds and our hearts, the focus on the Word of God so that we might grow closer with the Lord. Reading the Word for academic study is for another part of our devotional life. Answering questions about the passage is for another part of our devotional life. Now all we want to do is to learn the basics of how to keep our attention focused, stop our minds from wandering, how not to let the tapes and the commentaries play in our minds, or at the very least, how not to pay any attention to them. And we're going to learn how to do that. Now, many have been blessed with salvation and know that they are saved in Christ. That single instant when the Lord revealed himself to us by the power of the Holy Spirit, he changed us, he gave us faith, he adopted us as his children. We rejoice in this gift. I mean, we stand in the finished work of Christ. Nothing can be added to that work of Christ to make it any better, any fuller, any richer, any more finished than it is in what Christ has already done. But not many know God or understand what he has made possible for us to understand. What we know of God does not compare with what we don't know of God. He is infinite. We are finite. He is righteous. We are unrighteous. He is holy. We are unholy. He is without sin. We are within sin. Or we are with sin. There's only so much of the Lord that we can know, and the only parts we can know are what he reveals to us. So we're going to explore later the distinction between knowing about God and knowing God. So let's contemplate our minds first. Now, there are parts reserved, as Augustine said, for the contemplation of God and a lower part of the mind that reasons. Now, we might say we have parts of our minds that are calculating. We live in a scientific age, a scientific town, a lot of engineers here, a lot of people who are calculators, are thinkers. So we have a calculating, creative, insightful part of our mind, and we also have a contemplating part of our mind, which thinks about things. Now, some of us are engineers and some philosophers. Few of us use the contemplating part of our mind, since most of the world likes action. Okay? They want action now. Much of life is technical. We want things to work. We want things to function. To contemplate seems to be a waste of time in our world. Sitting in your chair at work thinking, contemplating, now you might be mistaken for taking a nap, so you have to be careful. Contemplating does not seem productive, and an inactive and unproductive person gets passed by in our world. But some things cannot be known unless they are contemplated for an extended period of time, unless they are examined, unless they are thought about over some long period. If we put to use the pure reason part of our minds about our spirituality, well, we end up considering God as something over there, something to be figured out, something we know about, that which is apart from ourselves, but no bigger than ourselves. He's just there for us to figure him out. If we think of God like we think of a problem, then we put him in a category of something to be boxed up, something that is containable. And we know that God is not containable. He is infinite. He is beyond our ability to put any parameters around him. To consider or contemplate God requires a thinking, rational mind and a contemplating mind and a sensing heart and a silence out of which we see and live into that which he speaks to us from his word. So this morning, let's look at some steps we can take to achieve what we're after. We started with some basic things last week and some homework that you put to use. And my guess, as I said before, it was hit or miss. Sometimes you may have been able to focus completely, and other times you had no focus at all. So these steps that we're going to do today are concrete, and they're physically oriented. Achieving what we want spiritually will require adjusting what we do physically. But because of our time limitation, the amount of material that we're covering, what I've already given you today, I will not give you the complete explanation of the last item. I'll only touch on it, and we'll fill it in next week. So, what steps can we take to achieve what it is that we are after? Let's look first at our posture. Now, many of us have been taught since we were small to close our eyes and bow our heads when we pray. Not that we can't pray with our eyes open, but our eyes bring into our minds untold distractions. If you pray with your eyes open, then you can see what everybody else is doing. You can see, if you're in church, as an example, you can see the woman with the hat over there. And you say, wow, there's a lot of things on that hat. And you're supposed to be praying, but you're focused on the hat, or you're focused on the stain on the pew in front of you, and you wonder, I wonder when did that happen? That looks like old wax. Maybe that was a Christmas Eve service and some wax dripped here, and before you know it, you're not concerned about praying at all. Your eyes have taken in so much information that your mind has wandered. Well, it offers distractions. So often we close our eyes when we pray. Now, in our present society, with its relaxed dress codes, different worship styles, different orders of worship, this presents prayer in a much more varied fashion. Let me give you an example. I was in a service not that long ago when a woman was asked to pray, and the woman came up, and she referred to herself in the third person. I won't give you her name. And when she got up before the congregation, she said, I can only pray in the way that I can pray. And she went on to sing the same line over and over and over again for 5 minutes with very small variation on the tune. Amening and being very into it. And I thought to myself, from what I read in Scripture, I don't think the Lord is all that excited about this. I don't see this as really what the Lord is after here, because it was all about this individual. It wasn't about the Lord. Now, in other places, when we see people praying, we might see people standing, their arms upraised. Those are biblical things. They may have their eyes open. They may shout. They may sing. Some might be giving prayer a more meditative approach, quiet prayers, maybe praying in a whisper. Now, we have to remember the words of Uncle Screwtape to his junior demon Wormwood in the Screwtape letters. Let me quote, "My dear Wormwood, at the very least, they can be persuaded that the body position makes no difference to their prayers, for they constantly forget what you must always remember, that they are animals, and that whatever their bodies do affects their souls." See, this is what he wanted them, he wanted the patient to forget, the fact that what we do with our bodies affects our souls. The body and our posture contribute to how we pray and what can be achieved in prayer. So why do we bow our heads in prayer? Well, because we come to the Lord in humility. Why do we demonstrate humility? We go before the only God who has all the power and all the authority, who is righteous and holy, who is without sin, and who knows our hearts and minds and everything about us, even before we begin to pray. To approach him without humility, exalting ourselves, as if we have the right in and of ourselves to demand an audience with the holy God, is to risk being brought low by the Lord. He who humbles himself, the Lord will exalt. He who exalts himself, the Lord will humble. We do not separate our body and soul when it comes to achieving silence and entering into the presence of the Lord. The Lord bids us to come. Come into my presence. Come to the very throne of grace with all that you are. And it's only in our weakness and sin that works to hinder our response. When we are physically still, when we are returned to what's called living within our bodies. Living within our bodies is we don't really concern ourselves with anything outside of our skin. We're here within our bodies. We're focused and quieting our minds, listening to the Lord. I don't want to notice anything outside. Stillness in our present day is harder and harder to come by. Think of students in schools. And, you know, they have fidget cubes and spinners. They keep their hands busy. They can still listen at this time. Reaching a point where we can still our bodies, and we're going to see in a moment, control our breathing, will help us achieve silence. So, this is the big question. What's the proper posture for prayer? I don't know. Whatever serves you. I've prayed sitting, I've prayed standing, I've prayed on a kneeler, kneeling with my head to the ground, prostrate, all face down on the ground. I've prayed on planes, I've prayed in cars, I've prayed while I've been walking, all kinds of places. Here's my findings. Kneeling hurts. That's me. Sitting is okay. Being prostrate was good. Walking was distracting. What helps you keep your attention focused and will cause the least amount of opportunity for commentary about your posture is the right way to pray. Okay. Remember who you go to. That's the Lord. He's the God of all creation. Go to him humbly, but go to him in the way that keeps you focused. You don't want to break in the middle of your silence with a commentary in your mind about the hardness of your chair, or the fact that your knees hurt from being on the floor, or maybe you were prostrate with your face down on the carpet, and all of a sudden you wonder, what makes this carpet smell so bad? Okay, that will not facilitate silence in your mind. Your mind will run with that. Well, neither do you want to be so comfortable that you fall asleep. Prayer and achieving the silence necessary is work. It's a practice. You have to practice again and again. You have to figure out really what works for you in that. There is no one size fits all. Some people love using a kneeler and praying in that way. If that serves the purpose of drawing you close to the Lord, then do so. Do so. Let's look at our breathing for a moment. We've touched on our posture, and our posture is very important. Let's look at our breathing. Breathing is far more important to achieving our goal than you may think at first glance. You think, well, I don't even pay attention to my breathing. Well, when you're trying to silence everything and all you can hear is your breathing, then you're going to be focused on your breathing. That's a problem. Controlling our breath through the pace of breathing, the amount we inhale, the amount we exhale, the different speed of each, all contribute to a calming sense within us and a focus upon the Lord. Now, everyone who's ever gone hunting understands breath control. You're on the first day hunting a deer, and you're very excited, and you're out in the woods, and it's been quiet, and the deer walks before you, and your heart rate goes up, and your breathing goes up, and it throws off your aim and your shot. So let me go to an expert who deals with breathing along those lines, and this is from the Sniper's Manual. Breath control is of the utmost importance. The movement made by the expansion and the contraction of the chest cavity can easily throw a sniper's aim off. In order for a sniper to make his shot, he's required to control his breathing, for it's during the natural pause between inhalation and exhalation where he makes his shot. The natural pause between breaths is usually 2 or 3 seconds long, so by extending this pause to as long as 10 seconds, the sniper has the window that he needs. If the sniper does not settle enough in this time, then it will throw his shot off, and this relaxation process has to be repeated. So in any activity that requires a concentrated effort, breathing plays an important role. Now, you may not understand the sniper things, but how about this? Have you ever tried to thread a needle? Okay, and here you are trying to hold the needle, and you've got your glasses on. You're trying to get that little piece of thread in there, and you're trying, and your hand's going like this. You've got to control your breathing to get that in. Sports psychologists will work with their clients on their breath to help still their nervousness or focus their attention on their breathing and ignore the crowd around them. Women in labor use breathing to help calm them, to help get them through the pain. If you give your attention to your breath, the smoothness of your breathing in and out, your capacity to let other thoughts in is then reduced, and your focus on other aspects of your physical world will fall away. Your thoughts will still be there, but your focus is on your breathing, on your breath control. You've already found a posture that is good for you. Now you're quieting your own system here through controlling your breath. Then you can focus on what we're going to talk really in depth about next week, is your prayer word or your prayer phrase from Scripture that you're helping to focus on so that other thoughts dissipate in your mind. Now, don't let thoughts like, well, here I am sitting in my comfy chair and I'm trying to control my breathing because Randy said this is the way that you pray. Don't let silly thoughts like that take over your mind. Okay, your mind will want to go to those things. Your mind will want to take you away from your focus upon the Word of God. Now, this is not some mystical practice that we're doing. This is simply finding a way not to pay attention to what is not necessary. Once you remove those extraneous thoughts about your body, about your physical needs, then it is time that we introduce those words that will help us focus. We breathe, we relax, we focus on the Word of God. So here's your homework for today. I hope you're ready. Try different postures. Try to find what works. If you've never prayed with your face to the ground, try that. If you can. If your knees are like bad and you don't want to do it, that's fine. If you've never prayed sitting outside, well, you have to deal with the extraneous noises that you'll encounter being outside. Maybe you have a spot where you love to go do your morning devotions and pray. Make sure you're comfortable. Make sure you can close out everything else. So try different postures. And what runs through your mind as you're sitting there? Don't think, well, is this posture good? Am I serving my purpose? Am I humble enough? Those are all commentaries that will be in your mind. Close them out. Focus. Go back to your psalm. Read your psalm. Fill your mind with that. Focus on your breathing. If you have trouble with extraneous thoughts, then work on your breathing in and out. Reading the Word of God. Go back to the psalm. Read it without comment. Keep those extraneous thoughts out. Then pray it back to the Lord. So this week you're going to add to those reading your psalm your posture and your breathing. And then next week we'll build upon that. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for this opportunity to really use just some practical things that you've given us that we can help draw us close to you. We pray in this week as we put them into practice that we will be quiet and still before you. You call us and bid us to come to the throne of grace that we might receive the mercy, that we might know the joy and the peace that passes all understanding in Christ Jesus our Lord. Draw us close to you, Lord, especially in this week, this Holy Week, as we come and we know that the sadness that we will experience Thursday and Friday, but yet we know the joy that comes on Sunday morning. So, Lord, let us experience all of this in our intimacy with you, that we might know you, that we might dwell with you. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. And we'll see you shortly at 10:30 for worship here at Central.